Hey, family, welcome back to another episode of Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. I'm your host, Evelyn Ello. This week's focus is on one of the most misunderstood yet essential pillars in Hebrews 6, faith towards God. Not faith in faith, not religious optimism, but genuine, bold, enduring trust in God Himself. And I am here again with my beautiful sisters, my ride or dies in ministry, Crystal and Amy. What do you say, girls?
We're back for week 3, and let me tell you, this one has stretched my faith in the best way.
Yes, we're talking about more than belief, but faith that moves, faith that leans on God and not just quotes.
Yes, and whether you joined us in person Tuesday night for Bible study or you're catching up on the recap now, we're so glad you've joined us. We're walking through the foundation study, 10 weeks, through 6 core doctrines in Hebrews 6, and today we're hitting one of the big ones, faith towards God.
Yep. So Hebrews 6, it's verse 1, says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teaching about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, faith in God."
Okay, so our discussion questions and for our Bible study, I'm going to give the 5 discussion questions we had, just so you that were unable to attend can go over those for yourself. The first question was, why is faith necessary to please God? 2 was, what is biblical faith and how is it different from wishful thinking or positive vibes? 3 is, where does faith come from? 4, what does it mean to live by faith daily? And 5, how is faith connected to actions? And we started our Tuesday night Bible study by reading Hebrews 11:6.
Which is, now without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
Yes. And so without faith, this is the quote from that part, just a little version, is without faith, it is impossible to please God. Not hard, not unlikely, impossible, bold, impossible. Faith isn't just believing that God exists. It's trusting that he's good, he is able, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. We broke it down into 3 truths. The first one was, faith is not feelings. Faith comes from hearing the word, Romans 10:17, and faith always leads to obedience.
So Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ.
Yeah. I also loved that we hit last night that faith isn't a vibe. It's not goosebumps during worship or catching chills when someone prays over you. That could happen, but it's not the core of faith.
Yeah.
Faith is conviction. It's being anchored in truth when your emotions flatline. It's trusting God when the hype is gone, when the music stops, and when you're standing in a storm with nothing but his word to cling to.
Amen.
Yeah, that's true.
It's when you say, I don't feel like it, but I will still obey. That's real faith. It's not about riding spiritual highs. It's about standing firm when you feel spiritually dry and still choosing to walk it out with God.
So true.
Yes. And let's be clear. Faith isn't just believing in God. It's believing God. There's a big difference. The devil believes in God, but that doesn't make it faith. Faith is when you take him at his word, when you trust what he says more than what you see around you. Even when everything around you is saying it's not working, you're not enough, God's not coming through, faith says, but he said, it's holding on to God's promises. Even when evidence isn't lining up, it's walking like it's done, already been done, even when you don't see it yet. And that kind of faith, it moves heaven and it gets God's attention.
Oh, that is so true. All right, ladies, let's talk about our takeaways from Tuesday night. Faith is believing the unseen. It's believing who he is. It's believing who he says we are. It's believing who he says others are, which was a tough one for me.
Mm-hmm.
And God will do what he says he will do. What do you say?
Yeah, that's good. I actually have those same notes. And then I also have, they reference Hebrews 11:1, which talks about like, what is faith? And it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, or least expounded on things not yet seen, which I thought was good also. And then she also really hit on the word substance, which is, she talks about being like the capacity and the ability to create space, which I really liked. And then they also talked about the purpose of this, of faith. And so I have three things. The purpose of faith. So it gives us access to God. Mm-hmm. It gives us access to salvation. And faith is required to live the life that God has called us to live. So I thought that was really good.
What do you got, Amy?
I was really kind of interested when he said that faith is released by speaking and by doing, because he said, you know, he said his word does not return void, which we know, but I never really thought of it in that context.
Yeah.
I usually think of it in terms of non-believers and them hearing the word. But yeah, we have to speak the promises of God. Therefore, we come into agreement with him that he will do what he has said that he will do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you know what else? I have this actually, and faith pleases God. She said that like faith pleases God. And I had a little exclamation mark next. So I'm like, that's good. That's
so
true.
Simple, but so true.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, because she expressed, so she said Hebrews 11:6, which we talked about, it's without faith, it is impossible to please God. Yeah. But then, which I also like, she did, she talked about like flipping that script. Instead of saying without faith, it's impossible to please God, it's faith empowers us to please God.
God. And I like faith pleases
that she's able to kind of flip that around. And then they also talked about the importance of faith. Yeah. And it's because you can't have anything from heaven or from God unless you have faith.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to, without faith, you're not going to get anything from the heavens above.
Yeah.
Right. Because faith is how we relate to God, right? It is the currency of heaven.
Yeah, I love that so much.
And that's, and again, that goes back to 11:6, Hebrews 11:6, where it talks about faith is impossible to please him, right?
Yeah.
And then biblical faith is the confidence and trust in God.
Yeah.
And his word and his character. It's like who he is. You're trusting who he is. And you can see God's character throughout the entire Bible.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he never changed. He's always the same yesterday as he is today, and he will be the same tomorrow. We can count on that, and we can have confidence that that's true. And faith is rooted in truth and not emotion.
Yeah. And what that to me, that he never changes, is one of the most comforting things in the entire, in my entire life.
Yeah.
Because everything changes, and everything is so unstable, but not God.
Right.
That's true.
God will always be the same, and he will always be the most powerful, and he will always be good.
Yeah, Didn't you like also when John Bevere said, faith can be grown. It's either increased or diminished. And then Lisa chimed in and said, or dormant.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, I never thought of it that way. Like he mentioned having a seed placed on the table. If you place the seed right here on this table and leave it there and do nothing with it, it's dormant. Nothing's going to happen unless you do something and move in that.
Yeah, cultivate it, nurture it.
Absolutely.
And kind of piggybacking on what Amy said, talking about your faith is released by speaking and doing, right? Mm-hmm. So speaking your promises over your life. And I find that, because everyone says like, oh, you should speak your promises that God gives you. But me, so I'm a little bit newer reading my Bible, I don't know the promises that God has spoken over my life. So for myself, it's like I can't speak them because I don't know them. So I have to like really dive deeper into God's promises so I know what I can speak over
speak
my
over
life, over my husband's life, over my daughter's life. Because I love that John brought up how Lisa, she spoke over her son's lives about how they are
the princes
of the kingdom, and they all are ministers.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to be able to speak that kind of positive, that kind of truth into Riley's life, but I can't if I don't know him. So I'm going to have to like really, really dive into the word to learn what those promises are.
Amy, you mentioned that last night, how you do that with Kate, or how you've done that with your daughter.
Yeah.
Layla.
Yeah. Always tell her, you are the daughter of the Most High God with a sassy snap. Don't you ever forget it.
Yeah.
Yes,
so they talk about, I believed it, therefore I spoke it.
Yes.
I believed it, therefore I spoke it. And that comes out of 2 Corinthians 4:13. And basically it's believe, confess it to the Lord and to others even, and take action.
Right. Yeah.
Don't just say it. You got to actually walk it out. Right.
Yeah. And speaking, it also creates that pathway.
That's true. She mentioned that. Yeah. She said faith is released by speaking and doing, but the speaking is what creates a pathway for the doing.
So you can later do.
Yeah. So we talked about like dead works last week, mm-hmm. but this also is connected with faith, right? So faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
That I think we referenced, or he did, James 2:17. And if we say we believe, but we don't act on it, it's not real faith. And I thought, man, that's like humbling right there.
Right.
If you don't act on it, you don't believe. Do you really believe?
Right.
Do you really have faith?
And a lot of people, you know, they say, well, you don't have to work for your salvation. And you don't have to work for your salvation.
No. Right.
But if you're truly saved, you truly have the Spirit in you, you will live a faithful life. It's just a natural fruit of it.
Yeah, it's true.
So your life will show your faith in action.
Yeah. Living by faith means trusting Him with our future, finances, relationship, and purpose, even when the path is unclear. I know I'm walking some of that out myself. And it's walking in obedience one step at a time.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Any more takeaways before we move on? You guys got anything in your notes there? We had a great conversation last night with
really
the group.
Did. Yeah.
If you're in the area, I strongly encourage you to join us on Tuesday nights because it is hearing and bouncing off of each other has been powerful.
Yeah.
It's been powerful.
Yeah.
What is the difference between faith in God and faith towards God?
So faith in God is foundational. It's your belief that He exists, that He's who He says He is, sovereign, good, faithful, omnipotent. This kind of faith is about trusting His nature and His promises.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as faith toward God, on the other hand, is more active and directional. It's the response to that belief. It's the daily leaning, stepping out, and walking toward Him, even when you don't fully see the outcome. It's a faith that moves. Think repentance, obedience, and a forward motion to the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in other words, faith in God is your foundation.
Right.
Faith toward God is your follow through.
Yeah. You're
stepping it out, walking it out, right?
And that was something I never really thought about.
Yeah.
I actually thought about more like faith in God is like my relationship with God. And yeah, you know, the fundamentals of who He is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But yeah, it's also taking that action step.
Right.
And walking toward Him, following through with it.
Right. And taking the steps is basically showing Him that I believe and trust you.
Right. And believing in His promises.
Yeah.
That's something that I think I fail at a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I am like, oh, God, I trust that You will do what is best for me, which is promise, you know,
absolutely.
But also says that He will do all these other amazing things in my life that I'm like, well, if You don't do them, that's okay. You know, I trust You.
I trust You, but.
Yeah. And I do trust Him, but I do need to be better about believing that He will do all these other great things that He says that He will do. And I'm more like, well, He'll be with me. You know, He'll be with me when it gets hard, instead of believing like, well, He can fix the situation.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's good. It's good. Have you ever had faith in your prayers or in your routine more than God Himself? Like, have you ever trusted in your routines rather than the Lord?
Yeah, I think sometimes we treat prayer like a vending machine, and we believe in the act more than the author or the outcome.
That's good.
So for me, I'm reading a book about like prayer and theologically what it means. And in this book, it says that, you know, Jesus overcame all these things so He could intercede with us, with God. And so we now are representing Him. And so we have to intercede for ourselves and for other people. And we have the authority to do it because of Jesus. And He literally said, like, if you think about it this way, every time you pray, you're releasing a little bit more of God's power. It's not that God can't do it without us, but He may not do it without us. He calls us to actively participate with Him in the world and in the way it goes. And to me, that really changed my prayers from kind of like this like laundry list of things that I need You to do in people's lives to, like, You gave me the authority to ask You for these things, and I'm asking, like, can You heal this? Can You redeem this? Can You fix this? Like,
And I'm coming to You. I'm asking with authority,
The
authority You've given me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And I
hold You to it.
Exactly. And I think that He wants a raw relationship with us, raw dependence on Him. And I think that's where people get it messed up, and including myself. Like, am I truly dependent on Him for my daily life?
Right.
You know, I don't, sometimes I'm like, oh, why am I going to bother the Lord with that? That's just so, but He wants to be involved in every detail of our lives. And I think it's so easy to kind of poo-poo that, like, oh, you know, He's a powerful guy. He doesn't really care you know, what about X, Y, or Z? You know, it's so minimal that, you know, I don't want to waste my time or waste
my prayers.
Time, waste my prayers on this little thing. He's an amazing God. He's an awesome God. He can do so much more, you know, abundantly than we think, but he wants to be in our daily life.
Yeah.
He really wants to be there.
And I think for me, like, this was a heart check moment. It's not about saying the quote unquote right prayer. It's about who you're trusting to answer it. And I know that Matthew 8:5-8 discusses
Matthew 6:5-8
kind of discusses how we should pray.
Yeah. So Jesus says, whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Mm-hmm. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him.
It's funny. Yeah. When you read that, I think of babble. I'm like, you know, how many times have I sat there and went on and on about something or complained about something to the Lord? And he's probably like, girl, you need to just sit down.
Yeah.
Quiet.
Right.
You're talking too much.
And I think about the times that when Andrew and I first started praying at night together, he's very meat potato kind of guy. He's very like to the point, and like his prayers are almost exactly the same every night. He's asked kind of for the same things, you know, and it kind of threw me off, because I'm nervous to pray for people, because I don't have like elegant words. I think you should have like elegance when you pray for people, right? That's not
but
me. So
I think everybody thinks that,
but now literally right, that verse you just read is like
he doesn't want that. He wants it from your heart. Mm-hmm. And so it's just fun, like, as we're praying together, and like his prayers, obviously, they change a little bit depending on what's going on in a friend's life. Or there's like, oh, I need prayer. Can you pray for us? Or, you know, that someone's going on having a situation, like, we always include that.
Yeah.
It's always kind of like the same prayers. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for Riley. Thank you for walking alongside us. I'm always thanking for AJ's salvation, you know. So it's learning how to just pray through your heart, not what you think.
Yeah.
He wants to hear.
It's just talking to him.
Yeah. Right? Which kids have it more figured out than us.
They mastered.
I was thinking about doing a Bible study on the Lord's Prayer for the teens that I, you know, teach. And I was going into this big thing about, you know, I went through each verse and told Layla, like, how you're supposed to do it. And she said, Mom, I just talked to God. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's actually
you
right.
Keep doing that.
Disregard everything I just said, because actually, yes, that is correct. Like, I do love the Lord's Prayer, and I do like to use it to, you know, to sort of organize my prayers and my thoughts. But she was right. You just need to talk to God, and that's really all it is.
I love that.
Yeah, coming straight from a baby, right?
Yes, yeah.
From a baby,
because they know what's what the Lord wants. That's good. What areas of your life right now is requiring you to walk by faith, not sight? And I know for me, like, you guys know just as much, like, mine's the family salvation. Like, I want all the people, like, I want everybody to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, right? Same.
So walking that out, but mainly, obviously, you want those closest to you to find, you know, the Lord Jesus, and to come to the saving knowledge of him. And so it's walking by faith, saying, God, I don't see it, but I trust you. I still trust you. And not because of what I feel, but because of who you are. And so that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
I think for myself, it's, so Andrew and I in talks on if we're going to have another baby or not, like if that's going to be in our future. So I'm 40, and, you know, so I'm starting the whole kid, like, later in life. I had Riley, she'll be 2 in December. So it's just trusting that God will help us or guide us, let us know, like, hey, yeah, this is the path you're going to take. Like, you're going to have another baby. Because I never wanted kids. Like, I never thought kids were ever in my future. I was like, oh, no kids. I'm happy. You know, I was content, you know, with no kids. And then I met Andrew and met this godly man who's just leads me well.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mind started to kind of flip, like, okay, we talked about it. Like, yeah, we would be good with or without kids. And then it came to the point where it's like, you know what, we think we'd love to have kids, you know? So then I was doing all the things. I started tracking my ovulation more. I'm not regular with my cycle, so I was going to my doctor. And then she's like, well, she wanted to test me for polycystic ovarian syndrome. So she gave me this medication. She said, if you start your period within 10 days, then you have this. That's going to be our diagnosis. I'm like, okay. So I probably didn't have one for like 3 or 4 months at this point, or longer. It could have been longer. I can't remember. And then sure enough, it kickstarted within that 10 days that she said it would. So I already knew. So now I'm battling with, I'm older. Now I've got this, poly, this PCOS. I'm like, okay, so it's going to be harder, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm tracking more. So I'm like, okay, this is what we want. So tracking, we're doing all the things. And then finally at some point, I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I just stopped. I stopped tracking everything. I was like, it's in the Lord's hands. Like I'm not going to do it anymore. And then I don't know how long after I decided I wasn't going to keep tracking that I ended up getting pregnant with Riley. And then I know you prayed for me a whole lot because there was a lot of anxiety that came with being older and being pregnant.
I got you, girl.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously, because my age, I had to do the genetic testing for her. Wouldn't have changed anything, but it's, you know, you're older, you have higher risks of things. And if it came out that she was going to have Down syndrome, whatever, it's then preparing you to take care of a child, you know. But thank God. Yeah. Thank God. You know, she came out perfect and healthy, and the pregnancy went well. Her delivery went really well. And then so now it's like, are we going to do that again? Like, so I'm 40, you know? So, like, in the Lord's hands again, if we're going to be walking this out again or not. If you bless us with just the one, great. If there's another one, great.
Yeah. So I think basically you handed it over to the one that mattered, right? To the one that
I stopped trying to
do things in your own works because you weren't gonna. There's nothing that you could do.
Exactly.
It was all in His hands, and that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Mine is just trusting Him for guidance. I came to a new church a year ago because Layla loved it, and I felt like God really wanted us there. And now that I'm bringing like 8 teens every week to church, which is amazing, praise God.
I love it.
But the reason I love this church so much is because they really teach the Bible. It's not just like, you know, your regular sermons, but I think sometimes they're over the kids' heads.
Yeah.
And then I ask the kids and they still want to stay at this church. And I just want God to do, I want to do what God wants me to do. So I'm just trusting that He's going to guide me and help me figure out where I'm supposed to be flocking these children.
Right. Yeah, well, that's all we can do is keep trusting Him, because He obviously will never steer us wrong, right?
Right.
So what would you say to someone who's losing faith because the wait seems long, the prayers aren't answered yet, what would you say to that?
Sometimes the wait is the work. He could be refining your faith, maybe pruning the pride, deepening your dependence of Him. He, unlike us, He sees the whole picture. And when it feels like there's nothing happening, He is actually working behind the scenes. So something is happening. Trust is being forged with God. Humility is growing. And ultimately, glory is coming.
That's good.
I would remind them that God is never late. I recently reread the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, and it teaches that God is always on time.
Mm-hmm.
And in the story, He says, you know, I'm glad that he's been dead for 4 days because now you can all see and you can believe. And then something I noticed when I was reading it today was when he got to the house, Martha runs out and says, you know, Lord, my brother's been dead. If you were here, this wouldn't have happened. And he says, like, who am I? And she says, you're the Messiah. And then it says, and Mary stayed in the house. Right. And now I'm trying to figure out who had more faith.
Right.
Yeah. Did Martha have more faith because she ran straight to Jesus and was like, you got to do something about this.
Was,
yeah,
for sure.
Or was it Mary who just stayed in the house and played it cool because she knew Jesus would fix it, or had she given up?
Right. Right.
So, either way, the point is that Jesus is always on time.
That's right.
I think that's a great, That you picked up on that, Amy, that's amazing, because I would have never looked
at it. Well, and you know how
good. I mean, that's good.
You know how good the Holy Spirit is.
Oh, yeah.
There was just something about when it said, Mary stayed in the house.
Right.
That, like, really caught my attention, and I was like,
why did they even mention that? Why was that mentioned?
Right, why was that mentioned?
And normally we'll never know, right? Until we get to heaven, we won't know, and we probably won't care to ask that question, but we would probably be able to ask that question, and he will tell us why.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe it's just to show they both had faith, just different.
Yeah.
They had faith in different ways.
Yeah. So
sometimes you gotta wait.
That's right.
Yeah. And sometimes you gotta move toward Jesus.
That's right. And both happen.
Look at
that. Look at that. Thank you,
Holy
Spirit. God, dropping that.
That is.
That's
Holy
good.
Spirit is.
So right, the waiting is hard. But here's what I'd say. Don't confuse God's silence with absence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And don't let delay convince you of a denial. And I live in that. Okay. With my family and the desire for all to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and for salvation. Like, I live there. Like, I don't believe that that's a denial.
No,
I believe that there's just a delay and he's working it out, you know?
Yeah.
So that's it. Sometimes God doesn't give us the answer. He gives us the strength to keep asking, which I have no problem doing at this point. So,
So here's the challenge for this week. Ask yourself, where am I leaning on logic more than the Lord? Is it your finances, your future, that relationship you keep trying to control? Sometimes we mask fear as being realistic, but the truth is faith and logic don't always hold hands.
Yeah.
So here's what I want you to do. Flip the script. Take that area you've been trying to figure out in your own strength and instead pray. God, I trust you here, even if I don't understand, even if I don't see the way forward. That's faith in action. It's not passive. It's powerful.
That's good.
Good. And don't forget, faith can't grow if your spirit is starving. And Romans 10:17, like we talked about, says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you want to strengthen your faith this week, you got to get in the word. So it gets in you, even if it's one verse a day, even if you don't feel like it, this is feeding your soul.
That's true.
You wouldn't skip meals for a week and expect to be strong. So don't starve your spirit and expect to walk in bold faith. Put the word in and watch your faith rise.
That's right. Good. And let me encourage somebody listening. Faith is not perfection. It's persistence. It's not about having it all together. It's about showing up, even when everything in you wants to hide. It's about saying yes to God when your flesh says, not now. Mm-hmm. It's that quiet strength that says, Lord, I don't know how this will end, but I'm walking it with you anyway. Faith is what keeps you moving when nothing around you makes sense. So don't disqualify yourself because you feel weak. Faith isn't about feeling strong. It's about trusting the one who is strong.
Yes.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
Here's your call to action this week. Let's reread Hebrews 11. That's the Faith Hall of Fame. Look at the lives of those who walked by faith, not by sight. Let it stir in you. Let it stretch you. Let's journal. Let's take your journal. And where has faith been shaking for you? What do you want God to strengthen? Let's be honest. He already knows everything, so you may as well write it out, talk it through with him. And don't keep this episode to yourself. If you know someone struggling with doubt, send this to them. Be the one who reminds them that faith is still possible right where they are.
Yes.
And y'all, don't forget, we meet every Tuesday night in person for Bible study. Let me tell you, the presence of God is tangible. But if you can't make it in person, this podcast drops every Thursday to make sure you still get the word in your ears, in your heart, and in your spirit. We're walking this journey together, and there's room for you.
Yes. And hey, if this episode blessed you, tag us, share it, post a quote, a takeaway, or even just a prayer it sparked. We got to keep building faith, and we need to do it together in our community. And you never know who's scrolling through needing to see exactly what you posted.
That's true.
So let's be bold with it. Let's be loud with it and spread his fire.
That's right. Next week, we're shifting gears and we're diving into something super practical, but deeply spiritual. Baptisms. And yes, that's plural. We're not just talking about a quick dunk or sprinkle of water after salvation. We're going into the full biblical picture.
We'll break it down. Water baptism, why it matters and what it really represents, Holy Spirit baptism, what it looks like and how it empowers you for the life God called you to live. And yep, that refining fire, the kind of baptism that purifies, stretches, and grows you. We're going all in on this one.
Yes.
And if you've ever felt unsure, confused, or you've just never heard that there's more than one kind of baptism in Scripture, this next episode is for you. You don't want to miss it. We're answering the questions people are afraid to ask and unpacking truths that can change how you walk with God from this point forward.
Until then, stay grounded, stay hungry, and stay unfiltered in your walk with Jesus.
This is Unfiltered Faith, Beyond the Church Walls. We'll see you next Thursday. God bless.